Hello, everybody. We are actually splitting this episode up into two episodes because we started talking the first part of the episode about what we've been up to, my performance last night, traveling, the holidays, what have you, what we've been watching on TV. And it went for so long. And then we also talked for an hour and a half plus almost about Married to Jonas that we've decided to split this episode up into two episodes. So you guys are getting the first part, which is just like our like catch up talk. And then later in the week, we are going to drop the video and bonus episode for the second part, which is our Married to Jonas recap. We just thought it'd be better than releasing a 2 hour episode. So enjoy. Wow.
Mm.
We really have progressed past the year 3000 finally. And we are at the very last episode we are maybe ever going to do about the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, we're not doing Married to Jonas season 2 after this?
I mean, we could.
I would be down. Maybe just like one, maybe just the whole season in one episode.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. We can do that. We can do that next week.
I definitely need to see season 2. Absolutely.
Okay, so we're like committed to this bit now.
That's what I want. I don't know if it's the people want, but that's what I want.
So you guys are getting another fun episode this week because we are going to just kind of chit chat because there's been a lot going on in the last week. And then we are going to do the back half of Married to Jonas season 1. I think we misjudged how many episodes there were. So this is going to cover episodes 7 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should have done 6 through 10, but it honestly doesn't matter.
These are pretty meaty though compared to the first 6. So.
I don't have as many on episode 9, I feel like, but I feel like it's because what I wanted to talk about from that is like,
there's a moment wrapped up
with episode 8 and 9 are kind of like the same episode in my brain.
Yeah.
But okay, wait. So tell me how your Thanksgiving went with your friends.
Oh yeah, it was fun.
Let's not call it Thanksgiving. Sorry. How did your celebration of thanks go with your friends?
Yeah, it was good.
Your celebration for the end of the American colonial empire.
There we go. Yeah, it was good. We made like 13 fucking dishes. It was like kind of ridiculous for 6 people. Completely unnecessary. But you know, we love to eat. We love good food. A lot of good options. It was really fun. It was great hosting. It was great not having family. It just made everything so much easier. Highly recommend. And then we watched, of course, top it all off, we watched Bad Sister, the 2016 Lifetime original about a nun who, like almost every other Lifetime movie, is a predator to a like high school child at like a religious school. And the main character, the high school child, is Ned from Ned's Declassified, which is cursed beyond belief to
see
what he's up to now.
Did you see him and the other girl from Ned's Declassified talking about getting sloppy toppy?
On that flop podcast.
Wait, can we actually play that clip really quick? Let me look. Ned's
Declassified blowjob.
Ned's Declassified blowjob.
It comes up like before anything else now when you Google their names.
Okay, wait, I found it.
Oh my God. Mortifying.
I'm telling you, it's hilarious.
Yeah, please play, because if y'all haven't seen this, I'm sorry for what you're about to witness.
Safari. Yeah, it's on Safari. Share. Can you see?
The first that I
What are you going to ask on this podcast? First what?
BJ.
I actually do. You really want to talk about this on the pod?
I just wanted to say that I felt like a failure from that point because
he didn't finish.
I know. Yep.
No, not.
Oh. You didn't. After a moment, he just said, thanks. Okay. And you got up and you went to the bathroom and you did your thing.
No.
I don't remember that at all. So which one do you remember? The one on the couch?
No, I remember the one in the backseat of your car. We can't talk about this on the pod.
Wow.
Dude, yeah, I can't believe.
We got busy in quite a
Okay, the way that she is like, one, still in love with him, and two, the way that they immediately go to the one in the back of your car, the one on the couch. I'm like, oh, so
how
you remember?
Many fucking times.
You remember. I mean, I guess if you were a child star on Nickelodeon giving sloppy toppy with
Weren't
your coworkers,
like
yeah, I would probably also maybe remember how many I did.
The trauma.
But crazy thing to admit on your podcast with your co-star.
And everyone was like, we genuinely
like,
did not
I
need
think
to
he's
know
like
this.
Married. I think they're both married to like other people now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
At
they
least
fully have
one
lives
of them
outside
is.
Of this now.
But, also, Ned, yeah. Can I be honest, would.
Ned?
I think would, but like I'd feel really shitty about it. Like the actor who as he looks right now.
Yeah,
like,
now definitely better.
Like I would feel like he's like rebound material.
You could be the bad sister in Bad Sister then. So in the movie, I have to set this up.
Matt, we're talking about the adult actor.
Well, he's like 25 in this movie, so it's okay. Even though he plays like a 16-year-old.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to be a predator in a Lifetime movie, you psychopath.
Okay, but she's kind of serving cunt. Basically, it's this woman who intercepts a nun. It's this like random white woman that just like intercepts a nun and is like, I'm going to steal her life because she's obsessed with Ned's character, who is a like famous acoustic guitar YouTuber. She can't stop listening to his love songs on his YouTube page. So she infiltrates the school and is like immediately like DTF, like come to my chambers after class, basically. And of course, Ned is like so popular with all the girls that like she's basically trying to like maim and kill and like displace anyone that gets in her way. Highly recommend. Truly a great movie to watch when everyone is full of food and full of weed. After a
I was thinking you were talking about the Apple TV Plus show Bad Sisters.
No.
which I did enjoy. I was also gonna say it's like good for what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
I will say that also speaking of sloppy toppy.
I was gonna say, is that how was your Thanksgiving?
No, weirdo. Can we talk about George Russell on The Gilded Age? Mr.
That's
Russell.
My man.
Or
that's
whatever my man. They call him. What do they call him on the show? Is it
Mr. Russell?
Okay. Listen to me.
That's my man.
Literally till the paint is peeling off the walls of my room or his room or the hotel. Like,
or the
I don't care.
Many 20-foot high ceiling rooms that they're in on that show.
And he's married to Rebecca Hall, which is cunt to me. Like, that's hot.
Oh my God.
Like, that's
they
a hot marriage. Yes.
Oh, good for them.
That is such a hot. Like,
release the tape.
You're married to Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Like, that's sick. Like Mrs. Prestige, the town.
I love
oh my god,
like,
remember her in The Town? Like, oh god.
I do love how literally his entire character on that show is like, I will do literally anything for my wife, and including not cheat and like make sure I don't have infidelity. And it's like anything she needs, he's like, how much money do you need? What do you need me to do? How do I get the Duke involved? Like, what, like, it's such an ideal character, honestly. We just don't, you know, talk about how he's like the union busting, like anti-worker.
But he's
evil
so
tyrant.
Wait, now I want to rewatch Vicky Cristina. Oh no, I can't, because isn't it a Woody Allen? It's a Woody Allen film.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I forgot. I was gonna be like, I should rewatch Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Jesus, I haven't seen that movie in forever. And then I completely forgot that was a Woody Allen movie. So apologies. Never mind.
Well, you can torrent it.
But Rebecca Hall is so good. And also, I'm sorry, but anyone who's married to Rebecca Hall is like, that's a hot marriage and you have good taste. So
literally,
like, go off. He's so hot. Oh my God. There's all these pictures of him shirtless on his Google search results, which is even better.
What's his name again?
Morgan Spector.
That's like a hot, scary name. We love
Matt.
That.
Matt.
Oh my God, there are so many shirtless pictures.
Matt,
what?
Look at
what,
this
though?
Look at this photo of him. This is gonna be my man. This is who I'm shooting to find. Because this is like a very typical guy in Philadelphia. Like,
oh,
most of the
God,
guys in
right.
Philadelphia look like this.
Okay,
but
this
he's
be,
so hot
I'm
on the Gilded
Age.
This
in the Patreon attachment, just like shirtless pics.
Okay, wait, also.
Also, you need to put this on your profile. Like, if you look like this, hit the DMs.
Can we also just say Carrie Coon? I could watch
That's
her
mother.
Beef with Soup for like the rest of my life. Like, she's beefing with Soup. She's beefing with the maid. She's beefing with everybody.
And she's right. And she should say it.
She should say it. Wait.
The way she walks in a room and I'm like, mother cunt serving mother beats house down. It must be so crazy to be like truly cosplaying as the mega rich from that era, because they're in like really insane houses that are not sets. Like, these houses are stunning and the outfits they're wearing are stunning, and it's like they're fully bodying the characters and everything so well. I'm like, incredibly
what?
I don't know, that show is like so immersive, like not to be like, it's television, but it's television.
It's so good.
It's like real television. So, I think it was Alex Better was tweeting, don't tell me that like she ate the scone, or that like what's her name crossed the street like too quickly. Don't spoil Golden Age. It's literally what it's about.
Wait, who's the lady that like freaked out that one episode?
I think all
remember
of them?
She's like, I
am. Oh wait, the one who's like the Scorn ex-staff maid who's yeah. Oh my god, queen, she's so funny. Did you see the latest episode where she like at the Duke dinner?
Yes, yeah.
Where she
tries
to like, where she like slowly sends in a man to infiltrate to like spill soup on the Duke. Like, I was.
Oh, Mrs.
living.
Winterton. Yeah, when Mrs. Winterton is Winterton, her little like temper tantrum.
I'm Wait, obsessed. Let me see. The way her man is like, oh, you are crazy. Like, how are you having this gorgeous, insane life I gave you and still trying to cause trouble? Like, not to be like, know your place, but if I was wiped up like that in a big ass house, billionaire basically, immediately, like, you don't need to play these games, girl. You're lucky to be where you are.
Oh yeah, wasn't she said? She's like, that's my Duke. Yeah. She stole my Duke. Also, we were talking in the so I performed last night in Alex Better's show, Bryn's Giving at Tiffany's, which was so much fun.
Please send me clips. Please post something. I'm dying.
Yeah, of course. It's so funny. And it was so funny because like basically, so like the green room, obviously, for those of you who do theater or know anything about just like live performance, is like, you know, where everyone congregates before the show. And we were in the green room, and the green room in Come On Everybody is down like... It's like less a green room and more of a dungeon because it's like, you know,
in New York, there's
venue.
Barely a green room to have at any New York venue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in like the cellar basement.
Yeah. It's very like you're down a flight of steps and you are like behind a wall down another flight of steps
like next
past
to the boiler.
Like a concrete like cellar, you know, like that kind of vibes. So anyways, it's like this basement level green room, and it's like super funny because I always bang my head every time we do a show there on the way down because, you know, the stairs are so narrow. And we were all down there and like, you know, a lot of us like see each other at the shows or like on Twitter and stuff. And like the second we all entered the room, it was like no conversation could take place that was not the Gilded Age, because we literally all came together and it was like immediately
Gilded
like, okay, guys, can we please talk about the Gilded Age? And I wish I could remember who said
That's
it,
taste.
But some you guys probably know the person who tweeted this, so if you do know the person who tweeted this, let me know. And they were like, the Gilded Age, they said the Gilded Age, the Morning Show, and oh god, what was the other one? Oh, and Just Like That are like Cocoa Melon for adults. Like,
and you know what? That is so fucking true, actually. It's so fucking true.
No, like,
I can just watch them walk into rooms and go, ooh, and I'm like,
I literally
fully entertained.
Go,
ooh. Just Christine Baranski just going like, well, I would never. And I'm like, this is television. This is acting. This is Emmy.
God, I love it. It's truly like the greatest. Greatest show. But yeah, no, so I did the show last night, which was really fun, and Alex Better is literally a fucking genius, like one of the most geniuses of geniuses, and the way that he combines the seasons together to create like a funny,
yeah, what was like the
narrative
exactly?
So the narrative was that it was Bryn's Giving, and
yeah,
it was like we were all beefing from all across the season at dinner and Bryn's Giving, like, like the thing about the cheese was like Aaron bringing, or like I as Jenna Lyons brought cheese to Bryn's Giving, and that was what kicked off the cheese
perfect.
Fight.
Okay,
or like,
I see. I love
Sai,
it.
Sai like didn't bring any food, but like complained that there was no food at Bryn's Giving.
Yep,
like it was like
perfect.
That kind of stuff.
Oh my god!
And like, you know, Jenna was like a quieter role this time, which was nice because last time I did Ariana for the Vanderpump Rules reunion,
like all
of Scandoval,
stops, like all measures.
And it was like the entire Scandoval season of Ariana and then the reunions. So it was like the beefy, it was like one of the beefiest parts beside Tom Sandoval, played by the illustrious, incredible, iconic, funniest person alive. Truly one of like three people on this earth, including you, that can like send me into absolute hysterics with like just their body language. Natalie Walker.
Oh my God. Yes.
Shout out to Natalie.
I want to like hang out with y'all. Like, oh
yeah. Shout out to Natalie Walker. I think you listen to this, but if you don't, or if you are Natalie Walker's friend, please tell. Well, I could just text Natalie this clip, but no, Natalie played Erin and she brought this like scorned perpetual prom queen / Jennifer Aniston energy to Erin that was like so perfect. Like Natalie just like captured Erin in such an incredible way. Yes. Also, I don't want to forget who also was there. One moment, but yes, no, while everyone else was there, like literally also there was this one part where I had to say, fuck, what was it that I had to say? Oh, it was when I had to say there was so much hope during the Obama's presidency as Jenna Lyons, because you know she's like talking about
that's something exactly she would say.
Yeah, no, 100%. Literally it was like,
didn't Jenna like dress Michelle Obama or something? Wasn't that the whole thing? Like, yeah, that was like her last thing at J. Crew or something.
And the context for me saying there was so much promise during the Obamas was like, there was like setup to it, obviously. And anyways, I couldn't even get through the line, like, because it was like directly after Natalie and it was like, like Jenna's like everyone's beefing and then Jenna has this aside about like there was a dress code, you know, she talks about there was a dress code to show up, no one else followed the dress code, and then I start talking about my expertise in fashion and how there was like so much promise during the Obama's administration, and I read the line, there was so much, no wait, let me do my Jenna voice. There was so much promise during the Obamas, and I like get to the part where I read Obamas and I just go
like, it's so absurd,
everyone like devolves into hysterics, and I had to like, it took me like 5 seconds to recompose myself because I was like, I could not stop laughing about that, just like
when you
absurdity.
Realize how like absurd the whole setup is.
Also, I have to give a shout out to Maya Dash at Maya Dash. Okay, Matt, I'm not kidding. Maya, who played Jessel, it was like, I'm not kidding. Like, literally, Jessel was
channeling completely
in the room with us. Okay. Like, Maya at Maya Dash on Instagram. Okay. Let me actually play a video of Maya's Jessel impression, because Matt, it is spooky. Like, it literally is exactly what Jessel sounds like.
It's me, Jessel, queen of the gays. I'm so excited that you guys believe in me, that you know that I am the cultural moment. Fun fact, I actually threw the first brick at Stonewall. It was actually me. But I'm so excited. Pavitt, hi, Pavitt, can you get me my poppers? I'm so excited also to announce that I am coming up with a single with Muna featuring George Santos. Just so you know, he is actually the canon. And I'm really excited about that. Pavitt, can you stop counting your Delta Sky miles and get me my poppers?
Stop.
We actually really get along. Padam, padam.
I'm obsessed with the Padam Padam caption.
Matt, it was...
Hi, Jessel here. I'm here to set my life story straight. I'm going to tell you my whole entire life story. So when I came to London, I was actually a penniless orphan and kicked out of an orphanage because I asked a simple question. I said, please, sir, can I have some more? And they just kicked me out. And I was just like a little penniless ragamuffin. I was actually taken in by like a band of just like pickpocketed children, and we just like pickpocketed our way through London.
No, so So Maya is literally doing this impression the entire
that
time.
Is stellar. That is no, stellar. That, I can't, but, I'm not following them already. Let me like make sure. No.
And then also I can't. Shout out. There was everyone was so funny. Michelle Chan Bennett did Bryn and it was but like it was scary. Like it was leaning into the like you know the like like that kind of
quirky
shit.
Aloof, yeah.
No, very like true like bimbo sex doll. And like so we had these like huge personalities. And then I was trying to like
people.
I had to play the straight man as Jenna because you know Jenna's like the yeah, straight basically. Man the whole season. Mm-hmm. So I had to play like very deadpan, but sometimes it was so hard because everyone was being like so ridiculous. Because
yeah,
like,
you have to be the calm one. You're like
yeah, it's like these like know. Extremely affected personalities, and then I'm sitting there like trying not to lose my shit because also like okay, like even. Chris Murphy and so Chris Murphy played Uba and then Natalie was Aaron and they were like side by side and they're both such like physical performers. Like Natalie was doing this thing where like when Aaron was having a meltdown she was like pulling her legs up into her chest and like hugging her knee and like shaking with like yes. sobs like very physical. So I was just like sitting there and I just kept doing the like
yeah Jenna's like so calm like timid almost yeah
oh my god. And Chris's freak out about the phone like literally brought the house down. It was just so much fun. And like it is helped by the fact that Alex is a fucking genius and everything Alex touches is like
and they were like the
genius.
Narrator right
yeah he narrated he love. Always narrates and it's like there was this recurring bit where they were trying not to say catch so it would be like snatch like just like things that rhymed with catch don't ask me to do it again snatch smash like all that
batch,
kind of stuff
catch.
And yeah. And so it was fun. It was fun. Lunch. I love being in New York. I love having this, like, I was joking with Alex. It feels like I have this, like, double life where, like, I, like, moonlight as, like, a lady about town in New York. I, like, appear
my
only
performance,
at,
my
yeah, I, like,
cabaret.
I, like, descend on the city in the night to perform at, like, a small gay bar.
You come
in
on
Bushwick.
A bus from nowhere. Like,
I come on a bus from nowhere and I descend on a small little bar.
We don't know
Bushwick.
Where she's from or where she goes, but any time is a moment with her is magic.
I descend on this bar and there is just a bunch of oomphs, as they say. They call it Oomphville.
And we ishbowl all night.
This is the Gilded Age conversation
exactly
of my time. But I love it because then it's like everyone's like, oh my god, Joan. And then it's like, I'm just some lady from Philadelphia who
and
like,
you're like,
just
goodbye.
Shows up only in this specific green room in New York. And it's what is
flying the best.
Shout out to friends of the show, Sexy Unique Podcast, Carrie.
Oh yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That's like very the vibe. So
that's actually
it's fun.
What it is.
I love all of my friends in New York. I love seeing everyone in New York. You guys like literally give me life. Like it's like this huge shot of like injection and creative inspiration that I need. And sometimes I am in New York and I'm like, why don't I live here? You know, because I just like I was like out and about in town. If you saw me in Oomphville last night, like in like, you know, baggy black jeans.
Come on,
and,
everybody like, really is Oomphville.
Yeah, no, it's like baggy black jeans. And then I was like in like my like knee, like almost knee high leather combat boots and like a floor length leather trench coat with my black shades and my little beanie looking
your
like literally your toxic ex-boyfriend. And I'm like at the corner store, like, hey, I'll get a bacon, egg, and cheese on a long roll, please. Not a long roll. I would get it on a hero in New York. But okay. And then also add jelly to it. It's really good, especially when I'm in Crown Heights. There's this deli
little jelly.
When I stay with my friend who lives in Crown Heights, there's this like deli on the Eastern Parkway that does jelly on the bacon, egg, and cheese. Well, you can get jelly on the bacon, egg, and cheese.
That sounds
and
good.
I always do because it honestly is pretty good. It's like a little bit of sweet on this savory thing. But anyways, no, you know, like I'm in there. I'm like, you know, give me my coffee and my bacon, egg, and cheese. And then I feel like a New Yorker. I bop around. I'm like, got to catch the 7 and then jump on the B, you know, like that kind of shit. Or not the 7 to the B, it'd be the 4 to the B. But you know what I mean.
There we go.
And bopping around. I'm in Midtown. I'm in Bushwick. I'm in Crown Heights. I'm like all around. I'm in the West Village. And then I'm like, why don't I live here? But then as soon as I get back to Philadelphia, I'm like, oh. That's why I don't live here.
It's very different to visit than it is to like truly be installed in the microchip and like,
yeah, because I think I do get a little bit of this sadness that like financially speaking and just like at this point in my life, it like really doesn't make sense to uproot myself again to live in New York, like at like this particular moment, right?
A different way.
I would need like 3 times as much money. I have to be so honest.
No,
right?
You
like,
really do.
I was thinking about it and I see my friends have gorgeous apartments for what they can do with it, right? Like I'm not dismissing the way that people live in New York, but like,
well, I mean,
what
the,
I get
the whole
to live,
point is
like,
you live in like a very small amount of space. It's just what it is.
Yeah, it's just small and you're not necessarily like feeling like, oh, this is like my dream apartment, right?
Yeah.
Like where I live in Philly, I love my apartment. I love where I live. I live in such a nice neighborhood and it has everything I need. And I pay like an amount of money for what I get, right? Which by New York standards, you know, I'm not in like Brooklyn. I'm not in the center of everything. But like for what it is, it's extremely nice. And
you're close
not
to everything
at all
still.
Feasible by New York standards,
oh,
right? Like,
not.
My place would be like triple the price for myself.
Or like
if
10
I lived
floors
here.
Higher with no elevator.
Yeah. You know? So it's like those kinds of things where I'm like, I just would want a little bit more money at this point in my life because I am so financially unstable that like it just wouldn't make sense to be like suffering in New York right now,
yeah.
Right? When I can get an $18 Amtrak ticket by the grace of fucking God and
that's
just like jump on there for an overnight stay, you know,
yeah.
Once or twice a month, maybe 3
exactly.
times a month.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the corridor.
Yeah. But I did have a like a get together with my friends here. Finally, it's the first time I've hosted everyone since I moved to Philadelphia and it was really nice. I made vegan mac and cheese and
yes,
vegan
God.
Mashed potatoes. And then we did vegan rolls, biscuits specifically. Cranberries, and then we have been really into making like we get like 5 pounds of chickpeas or like 2 pounds
yeah
of
you're
chickpeas.
In your hummus era right now
and we just like make a bunch of hummus which is by the way guys thank you for the people that put us on to putting a little bit of baking soda in the chickpea water while you're boiling them because literally it's crazy how much easier it is to deshell
baking
them because literally
be like the
all
secret
the shells
to cooking sometimes.
Yeah,
if you're making a tomato heavy dish and you want to be less acidic, a little baking soda neutralizes it. It's like
yeah.
crazy.
Also, the baking soda breaks down the chickpeas a little faster and it also helps all the skins rise to the top of the water where the aquafaba forms. So if you're not interested in keeping the aquafaba, obviously, you can just like skim all of them off rather than deshelling them by hand, which not to be, you know, this person, I do like deshelling the chickpeas by hand. It's like meditative. You put on a show and then you like, you know, deshell 2000 chickpeas, but
oh my God.
It is
not
fun
everybody has the time
to do it. Yeah. This way. And it turned out so smooth and so creamy and just like the smoked paprika we have. That's like fresh smoked paprika. It's like, it was delicious.
When you toast some nuts and put on top, mama.
Yeah. Ooh. We got a pie, a vegan pie. It was like basically
yeah, it sounds
the
like
entire
entirely vegan.
Meal was vegan. I just made a little mac and cheese that wasn't vegan, like for myself, you know, but, even like the milk and everything, like everything got substituted and it literally tasted like a normal Thanksgiving. And we've gotten really into making seitan. So all of the meat dishes were made of seitan instead, which was like so delish. And it was just nice having everyone over. I think I finally feel like settled finally, which
homely.
You know, yeah, you know, I've like desperately needed.
You,
so.
Yeah. I mean, after the fucking year you've gone through, mama, yeah. It's the least you deserve.
Yeah, I know. And like, obviously I I miss you like crazy. But it has been nice to feel a little bit more settled, because then it makes it a little bit easier to miss you, right? Because like when I was unsettled and I missed you like
yeah,
crazy,
you're like, you have nothing like, else, of course.
Yeah. And I have so many friends here, and my life is so full of love. But you know, like you are a huge sense of stability in my life, and like a huge sense of like, I guess,
well, we've
home.
Gone through a lot,
I mean,
of trauma,
like,
together.
I mean, like, we have always, for like, except a 10-month stint, we were neighbors or lived together for like 6 years.
Yeah.
So like,
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was hard to like lose that, because I had a key to your house at one point, you had a key to mine, and I would literally just show up to your house. Yeah.
I know, I miss that. That's what I miss the most.
I know. I know. I know. So I definitely am happy to finally get a little bit of like comfort, because man, I have been so destabilized this year. Speaking of destabilization, I have one more thing to plug, which is that we are doing another show. Alex does the Come On Everybody shows a lot, so you guys always should look at Instagram and Come On Everybody to see when they're coming up. But we are, I think it's okay for me to say this, planning another one, I believe, for December. So you guys should stay tuned. I'll let you know when I know. But speaking of destabilization, let's talk about Danielle DeLise. Also, someone said that we were pronouncing her last name wrong, but like, oh, I'm here to tell you guys, it's DeLise. That's what they say on the show, right?
Yeah.
They're the DeLises.
The person say it was supposed to be.
No, they just said like you didn't get her name right once, and I was like, no, it's Danielle DeLise. If that's not how it's said in Italia, then like
DeLise,
DeLise,
DeLise.
Okay, let's say Daniela DeLise,
Daniela DeLise,
Kevin Jonas, Jonessa.
It just what fucked up the most, especially these few episodes, is that they're being Danny and Dina.
Like, Danny and Dina.
Literally anagram. Like, I can't handle it. Like, I know they're short, but still.
Also, did you know that
What's Dina short for?
Dina. I think it's just Dina.
It's just Dina.
Dina's the older one, right?
Yeah.
Did you know Dina is like a Christian mommy food blogger now?
Of course. Sorry, it took me like
a
minute.
She has like something like called like the Jesus food blog or like something crazy.
No.
And she does like a bunch of like Christian recipe, like not Christian recipes, but like
recipes for
Christian
God.
Influencer content, mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. pray for God, you know,
very homestead. And
yeah. So yikes. Anyways, mm-hmm. let's get into this. Also, and then their little sister is just like one of those like those people that live in New York where you're like, do you have a real job, but just has like a bunch of model friends and like lives in Bushwick, you know,
that vibe.
Or no, sorry not Bushwick, they live in like the West Village or you know,
even
Upper
more
West
realistic.
Side
yeah,
and you're like, who the fuck are you, right? Like, how can you afford the
Post
West the Village at 23? And you're like, oh, because you're probably your parents or your sister. Okay, so that's actually all we've got for the bonus episode today. Stay tuned for later in the week when we drop the second part of our Married to Jonas series that will recap episodes 7 through 10 of Married to Jonas, plus a little bit extra about the Real Housewives and whatnot. Enjoy, and have a great rest of your week, you guys.